on the side. So we're opening the meeting at 6:03. I'm sorry, did I see, is Linda here? I thought I saw her.
Yes.
Oh, there you are. I haven't been there. Hi.
Hello.
Okay. Well, let's start before we vote on our minutes. Let's welcome Vanessa. Vanessa, you want to introduce yourself a little bit or say anything? We're really glad that you joined the CAC.
Hi, everyone. I'm sorry. I'm in a public space right now with my child, so not the greatest time to be in a meeting. I'm sorry.
But okay.
I'm really excited to be part of the CAC and, just catch up with everything that you all have been doing. So thank you for having me.
Okay. Just let Desi know that we're doing it for his generation.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Cool. Do I have a motion to accept the minutes, reject the minutes from anybody on the CAC?
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, there we go. And thank you, Linda, for doing that. The first thing we have on the agenda is the Climate Smart Progress Report. So from anybody from the Climate Smart team?
I guess I can talk. We haven't met in a little while, but so I don't know if the other gentlemen have anything to say, but Michael Hoffman, and I'm sure Tom could speak to this, updated me on the LED streetlights, and that's moving ahead. The council will be voting to allow the mayor to enter into the revised master cost recovery agreement with New York Power Authority this month, which then will allow their office to start the process of commencing the pre-installation study. So basically, we're on the route to LED streetlights, which will be a huge money and fuel savings.
Yes. That's huge.
I always like to remind people that I'm on the CAC and the coordinator of the CSC, and now we're working on points from the CEC. So track that. Keep track of that.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, I chatted with the new CEC coordinator for our region, and she was really nice and gave me some low-hanging fruit. And, this is sort of repeating what Rich has said in the past, but the CEC is a way to get these points that actually lead to money. So she looked at our records, and she can't submit things for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I really have to, get in gear and submit some things, and I just did some today. But when we submit things, we get points. And once you get to a certain threshold, like 3,000 points, and we're up to like 1,500 right now. Once you get up to 3,000 points, you have like $5,000 to $10,000, I forget the exact amount, some big amount for the city to put toward another energy efficiency project. So I was pretty convinced that it's a good thing to pursue, and she's really helpful and available, so that's great. So I submitted, that the energy, the city's code enforcement officer did some training, and we got points. We're in the Climate Smart Communities program, so we got a whole bunch of points. And we have EV charging station, so we got points. So I hope to meet with Michael and Rich a little bit more and make priorities on the CEC side of things. And then we'll get more points and, hopefully get actual real money from that.
Great.
So I don't know if Rich or Michael has anything else to say, but those are my updates.
That'll cover it for me. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Got it? Okay, good. Good. I got a letter from a request from the CLC. They're writing a pollinator grant, a pollinator pathway grant. We had supported when they did this a year ago, And now this is a new grant application that they're working on. And so I wrote a letter to support that. I'm sorry, my husband's right behind me and he's butt dialing me.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry. And
how do you say, folks?
Yeah. So anyway, I circulated a letter among the CAC members to look at, and we can vote on whether we want to submit that letter of a support letter for the CLC in their going for this grant. Did people get a chance to, Michael?
I move we approve the pollinator grant letter.
Okay. There's the second.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Oh, thanks, Vanessa. Got Vanessa too. Okay. We're all in favor. Super. Thank you. I'll send that out tomorrow. Then. I just wanted to announce, I think I sent it around to everybody on the CAC, and I think that most of the people here on this meeting know that the Hudson Design Collaborative is won a grant to do a project to actually design work with professional designers designing a project for the city-owned property down at the waterfront, and it would be about climate resistance, but also preparing for the future with higher water levels and all that on the Hudson River. And they are doing an outreach. Their grant to do this design project is heavy on outreach and community input, and they're having an event this Saturday at 1 o'clock down at the waterfront, rain, snow, or shine. And it would be great, everybody who could support it and attend or send along that announcement of it to other people. I think it's going to be a very good project. I've met the people that are working on it, and they're really wonderful. And they're going to be wonderful to work with. And let's see, the next thing that's on our agenda is about the solar development presentations, from the solar developers. I wanted to take a moment, though, before we start on that topic. I think it's a big topic, and I want to be able to dedicate time to it. I've thought a lot about it in the last couple of weeks, and I've talked to a number of people, and I've, thought also a lot about the role of the CAC. And yeah. So I took a moment this afternoon and just prepared something that is just right. About our role as the CAC and okay. What we do, and it's not all that long, but I want to just read something I prepared. And it's also, it's kind of serves as a reminder because, when we each became members of the CAC, we got this list of the 10 commandments of the CAC, what one does and what one doesn't do. I needed to review it more, or again, I wanted to review it again. So here we are. I've been doing a lot of thinking about the CAC and our role in the city, and also a lot about the solar presentations that the developers responding to the RFEI made on November 19th. To get clearer understanding of how others who attended the presentations felt about what they learned, I reached out to most of the attendees. I have been playing, phone tag with some of them, but with others I had good correspondence or conversations. I was very keen to talk with Jen Crawford of Crawford Associates to get some deeper technical understanding, but we haven't connected yet. I had a good face-to-face meeting with Common Council President Tom DiPietro. And while I have personally expressed what I think is the appropriate future of the landfill and the North Bay, in the end, that's merely one opinion. The job of the CAC chair is not to make things go my way. It is to guide CAC members in compiling well-researched information on all aspects, all pros, all cons of a topic or development under consideration, from the environmental conservation, land use, and preservation perspective. To present that information in a clear and a concise way to the Common Council and to aid them in their deliberations. I want to just take I went back and I looked up the birth of the CAC. And it was very interesting to look at what the Common Council had tasked us with. This is from the resolution, that was Local Law 7 of 2014. And this is an excerpt from it. The Common Council of the City of Hudson recognizes and supports the need for such an advisory council in order to ensure the wise use, enhancement, and protection of the city's profound natural resources and parks, and it is the advisory council's mandate to serve as an in-depth database and geographic information system repository for all issues and pertain to the ecological well-being of the city and its resources, and that resulted in the natural resources inventory. That was an aside from me. The establishment of such an advisory council is critical to a city required by its location to adapt to sea level rise. The Common Council of the City of Hudson recognizes and supports the need for such an advisory council in order to ensure a sustainable use, restoration, and conservation of the city's invaluable land and natural resources, as well as foster the evolution of the land ethic among its citizenry. It was in, and so that's, there's more to that law, and I can send it on to anybody who would like to read it. It was really interesting to go back and reread what, you know, the original task was and continues to be. So the CAC, as a CAC, we are seeking to empower and encourage the Common Council to put Hudson first, make sure that what happens is best for Hudson and for future generations. Work with county supervisors and the county CAC equivalent and figure out a long-term strategy for both alternative energy and the former landfill. Simply put Hudson above the desires of the developers, way above. It is in the spirit of that, it is in that spirit that we are working on a list of things that we would see that we would need to see in the next level RFP. The list would spell out a compromise that could accommodate both a conservation area with trails that don't disturb the cap and solar arrays in the North Bay. We would like a lot of input on this from the public and from anybody who's interested and from the CLC. Also in that same spirit, I recommended to Tom DiPietro that I think the city should get a simultaneous rooftop solar RFP going. It should be issued concurrently. And because Peter Bijano clearly knows how to write an excellent RFP, we would like to see the same expertise and energy put into seeking rooftop solar on municipal buildings. I asked Tom if the Common Council could pass a resolution that would pay Peter a healthy stipend to do this work. He's already done very important work for the RFEI, and there will be a follow-up RFP, and we also need a municipal rooftop solar RFP, and that should not go uncompensated. Those are my, that's my personal opinion, and I want to discuss this and anything else people want to discuss on this topic. But the landscape of is changing. The landscape is changing in solar incentive programs, probably very soon with the Build Back Better deal. It'll not just be property owners and taxpayers that get incentives to accommodate solar installation, but municipalities will hopefully soon be offered outright grants to pay for rooftop solar installation. So let's get this on a multi-pronged track right away and get lots of options on the table. And I think that that is CAC work, to get all the pros and cons and all the options on the table and everything out there environmentally and that's sort of the about this issue of we're totally for alternative energy, and we're also charged. There is a point in the law that I was reading, and I didn't get all the way down to that point because I've talked too much already, but we're actually also charged with being very mindful of the landfill. It says it in that law that was passed in 2014. So we're right on track. We're doing what we're supposed to do. And with that, I want to open up the discussion, probably first to the CAC here about the solar developer presentations, but also open to the public and to and certainly want to hear Christine Vanderlyn from the Columbia Land Conservancy on her thoughts on all of this. Thank you for hearing me out on that. Anybody? Just open up and talk.
Where do we want to begin with this?
I just wanted to add to that. I agree with everything that you're saying. And I think one of the things that you mentioned was empowering the city council. And I think we all appreciate that the council president comes every month, but there are 10 other members of the city council. And I think that as a body, I would like to see us possibly doing more, because ultimately it's the city council that's going to make these decisions. And for example, I would love to bring city council members up to that landfill and show them, explain to them what the options are. And especially considering that in the new year, we're going to have a very new council. So council members, I think it's also good to introduce council members to the CAC and possibly even provide them with some sort of, monthly update of the work that we're doing, so that we don't just show up every once in a while, but we're part of the council family, if you will.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
It is.
I mean, I guess what I'm saying is let's empower the city council while we're empowering ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking notes, so that's why I'm just kind of just have this open. You don't have to ask.
And I'd add to that, this is a particularly complicated issue because it, it's dovetailing to ecological concerns. So it's renewable energy and alternative energy sources with land preservation. So it's not quite as clear cut. And I think it's more complicated for common council members to understand sort of iterative and long-term changes to these decisions. Because we obviously are pro solar, but is it at the deference to giving up open space and you know, and a working habitat? And so I think there really needs to be a cost benefit analysis generated by the developer. So when the RFP is going out, that I think it needs to, as part of the submission to the RFP, include a cost benefit analysis. And the other problem, you know, which adds a wrinkle, is getting a cost benefit analysis from the developer is not always the most accurate independent thinking. So we can get it, and we have to get it like a little bit with a grain of salt, because a lot of the developers that presented were kind of making some blanket statements in their presentations. Like, for example, this landfill won't be accessible. You know, it's not a great idea to ever really have people walking around a landfill. That's coming from a biased source, which doesn't necessarily have a professional background to make that declaration beyond one that's most likely profit driven. So I think as CAC members, we're trying to come at this as completely independent minds, and the information that we're gathering all has a bias to it. So that's another reason why this information is hard to distill down to the common council members. Marie.
I mean, I agree, but I think ultimately this comes down to a question too. Do you want open space that connects the city of Hudson to the Greenport Conservation Area, or do we want a hardscape solar panel system on the landfill? I think that's the option. And I think it goes a long way to be on that landfill and understanding what that would look like and what that means. And I don't think, I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't do a cost benefit analysis, but I think that question is answered not through a cost benefit analysis, but a sort of bigger narrative about
through a site visit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fair, fair.
Right. Or is there any balance between the two? It's another question. We have to ask ourselves. I mean, one of the things about that, about creating a trail system that goes to Greenport, is it opens this. I mean, if you talk about an environmental justice standpoint, the only way, I mean, Greenport Conservation Area, you add that and the DEC land and Harrier Hill, it's bigger than Central Park. It's almost 1,000 acres of open space and trails and you know, educational opportunities and just, and you cannot get there without, I mean, you can get there without a car, but it's a struggle. You know, if you create that trail system, then anybody from the center of Hudson can go and enjoy this landscape. It's a huge amenity. I mean, do we want to have that? Is that an important thing for Hudson to have economically as well as environmentally? I mean, I think so, but that's just my opinion.
Well, and David, I dovetail off of that. I think the environmental justice component is a very big component, but if we also think about the landscape less anthropocentrically, and we think about that this is a working ecosystem.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another
incredibly important thing. Like when I was talking to someone, you know, earlier this week that's on this call, and I was, you know, we were kind of storyboarding out, you know, playing devil's advocate. What is the worst thing that could happen? We need solar. We're putting solar there. What is the opposition and what's the pro? And, you know, when we start having mosquito-borne illnesses, what's the problem? We got rid of the bird habitat, which controls our insect populations and keeps it in check. When we start having, you know, higher asthma rates and consistently 102-degree temperatures in urban heat island, it's because we got rid of our shade trees and our plant. So there's these huge iterative effects that happen from breaking down working ecosystems
right. In
favor of industry. I'm not saying that, you know, solar isn't a great thing. We absolutely want it. But this is why I think that cost benefit analysis, or like this evaluation, is this the right spot for it, is so important. And as much as it's lovely to give trails to humans, there's like greater issues of like human life and survivability long term.
I see. I have a question. I'm sorry. I know that I've very new to all of this and I'm not caught up to date, but something that I did hear on the radio recently was growing crops under solar panels, because it is kind of a loss of space and it can be used for agriculture in beneficial ways. So I'm just wondering if that idea has been explored at all. And I haven't considered all the pros and cons of that, but if we're going to take away, like open space, then is there a way to still have people access that and grow food?
Well, one of the things that I think, Vanessa, is one has to be very careful about not getting anything growing on the landfill that sets down any deep roots because of the cap. And that's why the grass mix that's on the landfill was specifically selected. But I'll let David Konigsberg talk to this. He did research on a mix of things that can grow under, David, you speak.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's more like pollinator species. I mean, I think, stuff that encourages, pollination would be more the thing. I mean, I think there are a number of issues. One is growing crops on the landfill cap, which you probably should. Wait, hold on. Which you probably can do. Also, the soil tends to be heavily clay in that area, and it's not the greatest agricultural land ever. So.
Yeah, you absolutely cannot do edibles on cap landfill.
Right.
It's a non-starter.
And it won't like that soil.
Yeah, you could put in planters with new organic matter, but you could not grow edibles for consumption on a cap landfill.
No, I wasn't thinking in the direct soil. I was thinking more along the lines of raised beds. I have no idea how feasible that is, but I was just thinking if it's just going to be solar panels, is there a way to incorporate some other things in there? Just an idea.
Well, I think that one of the ways that at least what we've seen proposed so far is that there would be no access for people on within the area where there's solar panels. There it would be fenced off and no go.
And I think what Vanessa's getting at was some of the things like we had talked about early on was maybe using the ecosystem for the pollinator-friendly plantings and making it still a working habitat, that it wouldn't be like own pathways of turf between the void spaces of the solar panels. So it's still maybe a partial working ecosystem. And maybe CLC has like some data on bird nesting sites around solar panels, if they still would nest or if they need more open space and less fragmented. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rich, were you going
to? Oh, yeah. In the cost benefit analysis, I mean, maybe I missed this part, but if the land is owned by the county, how much revenue will it actually generate for the city?
Good question.
The whole revenue question is huge. So I want to talk about that. I also, I see that Claire and Nick had raised their hands. Let's talk about the financial complexities. I have no idea how that's going to work out, but let's talk about that. But I'm not ignoring that Claire and Nick would like to speak. So, Rich, what were you saying about that?
How does the city of Hudson benefit if the land is owned by the county? And what, I mean, no one, maybe I missed it, like I said, but I don't see a revenue of, how much money is it going to generate for the city?
That's one of the huge questions of this. If the county owns the land, does the city receive revenues? If so, how much? And does it receive the benefits of the energy that's gathered there? Or is it distributed across? I mean, who benefits from this? And there's no clear answer on that.
And the other aspect that I think that I might take away from the presentations was that everything about the financials is yet to be figured out. You know, what part would be county, what part would be city, and if that's that's not the whole pie. The other thing that comes out of the pie is what section of that do you want in to be a municipal discount on solar, on energy, and what part would be community solar, where people could, buy memberships to get a discount on their monthly bill. So all of that would need to be negotiated out, and we have no starting place to try to figure that out, the whole financial pretzel. Nick, did you want to ask or say something? Nick Zacco?
I'll let Claire go first.
Oh, hi, Claire. Do you want
to? I was actually responding to Marie's comment about more council engagement. I think that would be a beautiful thing for this committee. And I also had a thought that for more community to be engaged in the conversation, maybe if you guys could find it possible and conducive to hold like a community teach back about what exactly is going on. I know Vanessa is one of your newest members, and she has a good working rapport in the community with folks that might not usually pay as much attention to this issue and young people. So I think this would be a really good opportunity for you guys to both engage the council and the community around this, because I think it's really important, but it is something that the mass majority of folks don't pay as much attention to. And I just decided on a whim to log on to this committee meeting, and it's very interesting. And I know a lot more people would be interested in supporting and being engaged in the efforts for this. So
glad you're here, Claire.
Thank you.
Nick, what did you want to bring up?
I'm actually fine to wait, because I know there's lots of other people and so many questions that are being asked. And with Peter Bujanow here and Christine Vanderlyn, I think there's people who have more relevant information. So I'd love to hear from them before I ask my question.
Okay. You know, one thing I wanted, Tom DiPietro wrote me an email just before the meeting, and he said he doesn't have a lot of time this evening, or he has other commitments. So, Tom, did you want to add anything? While you're still here?
Yeah. Other than that, I think everything you're talking about is right on target. And it's a good conversation. And I agree with what Claire said. I think it's important to that this conversation be extended further into the community so that they know what's going on and we hear their opinions about it. That's about it.
Tom, are there any more thoughts about how we can start to unravel the financial pretzel on this whole possibility?
I wish. Peter might be able to address that better than I can, because I still don't quite understand the whole relationship of who owns what in the parcels that we're looking at, and how that relationship, would work out financially. I really don't.
Yeah.
Hillary, I can talk to that.
Great.
Hello, everyone. So let's just back up a minute. Just understand that this is not, some of the things you're talking about really belong in a request for proposals. All the details that will be developed, a lot of formulation, et cetera, will be the next step. So this was a request for expressions of interest, basically saying, we have this property, we have this unit condition, can we develop solar here? Is anybody interested in developing it? Because we know that the EPA came up with some information about it, saying that it was a good site. We know that the county owns the landfill. We know there's a history about how the transfer of ownership went from the city of Hudson to the county.
Right.
We know that part of the landfill is under MSEG or the Harney Tea Company. So there's a piece of the landfill that's covered with blacktop. We know there's a 50-foot right-of-way. So we know all those things about the site. We're looking at this first moment to see, is it a viable site for somebody to develop? Is there interest there? keeping in mind that even though Columbia County owns it, that formula between Columbia County and the city of Hudson has yet to be developed. I've been speaking with Columbia County supervisors and the Solid Waste Committee and trying to get an audit with them, which they need to meet with me at some point. But that's yet to be determined, and that will be more refined during the request for proposals process, where some of the things you mentioned earlier on, some of the things you'd like to see incorporated in there, will address in that request for proposals, where the proposals will come back with more details. The best thing about this is, from the three presenters we heard, was that we can have the best of both. We can have the trails, because all three of them were willing to work with City of Hudson and County at that point to develop the trail, the connection to the Greenport Conservation Area. So we know that. Some of them even indicated a location where they would set up a view section of the mountain and the river, et cetera. So the good thing is we have three right now that are viable solar entities that are willing to work with the city and accommodate some of the desires in that sensitive area. We also know that there is one, at least one developer that has indicated development on city-owned property as well as the landfill cap. I also heard the other day that one individual said if it doesn't involve the landfill cap, they're not interested. So the next step would be developing an RFP, putting a little more detail in there, asking for a little bit more information, and then reviewing that, processing those proposals. And then we can move forward to the next level.
Well, but Peter, yes, thank you. I do appreciate that and that sort of recap of the situation and where we are at this point. And it, you know, obviously was it is a very well-written and successful RFEI. But the question of who's going, or how is the whole financial pie going to be, who's driving how that is going to work? Because that is the financial aspect, as you know, in almost anything that happens in government or business, it all comes down to finances, or that's a major, you know, point. How is that going to be worked out?
Right. So I'm going to set up a meeting. We're going to have a meeting with the county officials, the stakeholders in that section that deal with solid waste and the landfill, and the county attorney. And we'll look through some of the documents, some of the deeds, some of the previous written documents. I understand there's some agreements about responsibilities, who holds what responsibility with maintaining that cap, et cetera. Some of those documents, there was an early Crawford study that indicated some of those documents were missing. Right. There's a great Crawford study that shows the history about it, how it came to be. So the meeting will be to discuss what the sharing relationship is. Maybe the county says, since you're the host city, we'll provide you with X percentage of the revenue. But keep in mind, the revenue that Columbia County makes also serves the residents of the city of Hudson, because the residents of the city of Hudson pay county taxes as well. So there's a benefit and overall benefit anyway, any way you look at it. So the direct profit sharing and the direct relationship, if you recall, we talked about whether this would be a community solar, whether it would be some other arrangement. All those details are yet to be worked out in the final document. But the financial piece, the meeting will be with the county officials, and then we'll discuss what their understanding is, what their interest is.
Excuse me, Peter, I didn't mean to. But when you listed who would be at the meeting, it sounded like it was only people from Columbia County representing the county. Is who's representing the city of Hudson in this discussion?
Right. I would defer to President DiPietro on who he would like to be in that group. I'd like to participate in that, but, you know, I defer to common council on developing that, but I can broker that, or I can coordinate that meeting and try to work together. I have already asked if we could get an informal meeting with a few people, just so they can understand. They're hearing about this too. And they're saying, hey, nobody formally approached us. Well, we haven't formally approached them yet because we're in the early stages. We're trying to identify whether this is a viable project, whether we get to the next step. So I was thinking, if we get to the RFP, we need to meet with them. So then the proposers will have an idea of what that relationship is. And the ownership, obviously, is the county cap. There's some of it carries over to city. Maybe we have a some type of arrangement that we have yet to be determined.
Okay. Got it. The city definitely gets a seat at that table, right?
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. I defer to Tom DiPietro when
that comes. Yeah. Okay, good.
And again, Hillary, just keep in mind, a lot of the issues that are being brought forward are very good questions and very good questions that need to be addressed. I have some of the same questions, but we're not at that point yet. We're just still trying to get to that next step to see if we want to move forward to develop this to the next level and request for proposals, which again, there is no risk, as there is no risk here for this expressions of interest. There's really no risk to the RFP. It only provides more data. It gives me a little more work to do, but we get so much more information from the proposers and the developers. Then you make a decision whether you can amend the RFP, ask for more information, interview who you would like. But it just gives you another step of more information. And then that's where we can start to call, you know, all the finances, what we like to see. They just provide us with more information that we can make decisions on. So there is no risk, just so everybody is aware. There's no cost and no risk.
And that's, I want to emphasize too, Peter, to follow up on that. I think there's a common fear that these things snowball and no one can stop them. That's not the case.
That's correct.
You know, the common council, I mean, the CAC will be consulted every step of the way. You are already. And it's just not going to happen that way. You know, I understand the fear, but it's not realistic because something this major couldn't happen that way. You know, even if the county tried to go ahead without us, we could, you know, get up in arms and stop them somehow. So I have confidence that this, you know, process will be democratic and inclusive.
Yeah, and I heard, you know, what's in the best interest of the city, and that's what I'm all about. This is not, I'm not trying to force anything to anybody. I'm just trying to do a job to get the best information, to get the right answers, you know, and try to meet the environmental goals and to try to meet the energy goals. And I think, you know, I think we can do it all here. I think there's a great opportunity at this juncture to accomplish all of those things. You know, and if you look at CLC's original plan of doing trails, it was $2.4 million. Now we have developers that are interested in doing part of that for us. It might not be what the CLC plan called for back in 2012, I think it was. But, you know, it will be something that will connect the conservation area and it'll accomplish, you know, the environmental concerns. And we'll get all of that. Plus, we'll get a fee. We'll get some revenue out of it. So it's all a plus, in my opinion.
Peter, while you're here... Is the possibility of you helping with an RFP for the hardscape solar potential? I mean,
yes. Yep, I will do that. I just want to study that and make sure that there's no downside to it. Okay. It sounds like there shouldn't be any downside to it, but right. Yes, we can do that. We can, you know, if everybody thinks that's the right idea, I just want to research that a little bit, but yes, okay. I'm willing to do that.
Great. Thank you.
Fabulous. That's wonderful. That's wonderful, and I hope that there can be some compensation there too. I see that
Christine.
Christine Vanderlyn is on from the Columbia Land Conservancy. Christine, hi.
Hi, I'm just starting my microphone and video. So I just wanted to share. In thinking about the proposals, the presentations, they're not full proposals, but the presentations from the three companies. I attended that meeting and listened in. And the references that they made to trails at, you know, connecting the North Bay neighborhood and the Greenport Conservation Area all referred back to that 2012 concept plan and did not reference the much more detailed, advanced, based on much more solid study and evaluation of the conditions of the landfill and ways to create safe pedestrian access that are part of the Star White House design. So, you know, the exploration of trails and public access and a connector trail through that area and the landfill that's been considered and looked at in different levels of depth over time, and more